న్యూ చాప్టర్
నారదాస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫార్ వ్యాసదేవ్. వెరీ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ చాప్టర్. మెనీ ఆఫ్ ద ఫౌండేషనల్ బేసిక్స్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ హియర్ బై నారద ముని టు వ్యాసదేవ్. మెనీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్సెస్, ఆఫ్ అన్ కోటెడ్ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్. విల్ ట్రై టు మెమరైజ్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ వర్సెస్ టుగెదర్. సో వెరీ, దిస్ ఇస్ లైక్ యు కెన్ సే వన్ ఆఫ్ ద సీడ్ చాప్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ భాగవతం. యు కెన్ సే దెర్ ఆర్ సమ్ సీడ్ వర్సెస్ ఆఫ్ భాగవతం. లైక్ ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ దెర్ ఆర్ మెనీ డిఫరెంట్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ సీడ్స్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ది చతుశ్లోకి భాగవతం, which was spoken by the Supreme Lord to Brahmaji, is said to be, you know, one of the seed. Those which they occur in the second canto, 9th chapter. Those four verses, because they speak about Sambandha, Bideya, Prayojan. It is mentioned that the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are expanded with those four verses as the seed. That is one. And also in the first canto, 7th chapter, the meditation of Vyasadeva, you will see Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Amale Apashyat Purusham Purnam Mayam Chatadapashram. How Vyasadeva meditates on with a heart filled with Bhakti Yoga, and then he sees the Supreme Lord and Maya, and how Maya you know, traps the living entity, and how by practice of bhakti one can escape. In essence, this is Bhagavatam. This is what Bhagavatam has to offer. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, everything is there. So that is also, those three verses are also mentioned as seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this theme keeps repeating from first canto till 12th canto. Same theme. Just the stories keep changing, that's all. And this particular chapter, first canto, second chapter, and first canto, fifth chapter are also considered as seed chapters. I have heard first canto, second chapter, divinity and divine service, and this fifth chapter, Narada Muni's instructions to Srimad Bhagavatam, because this forms the basis of Vyasadeva's compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Based on these few verses that would be spoken by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva expands on these few instructions. Very, very important chapter. Very nice explanations by Prabhupada and other acharyas. So we'll try as far as possible what we can spend, you know, whatever time we can spend, we will try to spend on this chapter. So last chapter we saw Vyasadeva had compiled all the scriptures, including the Vedanta Sutras and Mahabharata and everything, but still he felt dissatisfied. At that point of time, Narada Muni appeared in his ashram, and he very nicely receives Narada Muni with all respect. This is where our discussion ended last time. So now we will start, we'll take the discussion further. We know that because Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, definitely Vyasadeva will bring out his struggle, you know, what he is going through, and he would ask for some suggestions, and Narada Muni would provide some solution, and the solution is Srimad Bhagavatam. So are the solution he would provide would be expanded into Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, I'll just want to remind that yesterday or day before yesterday when we discussed this, you know, we should never, two points that we saw the other day. One was this dissatisfaction of Vyasadeva is just created by Krishna. And sometimes when you want to establish the superiority of some particular thing clearly, you might want to apparently put down the other options, making it sound like as if there is no use for them. So that's what Narada Muni is going to do. Just to emphasize this point of, you know, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Glories of a scripture that is solely dedicated to glorifying the Supreme Lord and His activities, His holy names, His devotees. Is there a book that was solely dedicated for this sole purpose? None. But is it that Vyasadeva has never written about the glories of bhakti, never written about the glories of the Supreme Lord, never written about the glories of the devotees at all? No. He has written sufficiently in so many other scriptures. But is there a book that is solely dedicated to glorifying this process of bhakti, the devotees and the Supreme Lord Bhagavan? No. Not yet. So therefore, to make a distinct difference between the nature of these two kinds of scriptures, he would seemingly go to an extreme as if indicating or suggesting that all the other scriptures are useless. But we should understand it in the right context. It is like telling, you might see, you know, parents might be really annoyed with the behavior of their child, and they may say, "What did you learn in school? It's absolutely a waste. You should not have gone to school only. You have not learnt anything." So even though it might, if you take that statement literally, one might think that, oh, then maybe it's no use going to school. Maybe from tomorrow I should stop going to school. So if the child stops going to school, then again the parents will chastise him or maybe even beat him for not going to school. So the child cannot ask, "Hey, yesterday only you told, kyun school gaya, sab waste hai. So I don't want to waste my time going to school. I might as well stay at home and play." So in that sense, many times, even though the statements of scriptures are absolute, actually it is not the statements that are absolute. It is the context that is absolute. So unless you understand the context, we do not know whether that statement needs to be literally accepted or the mood of the speaker needs to be accepted like that. So some of the statements which Narada Muni will make in this chapter indicates his mood of desperation. They may not be taken literally. So that way, not all statements of the scriptures are available for critical analysis of the Siddhanta. Literally. Like for example, in the third canto, you will see the Supreme Lord telling that, "My dear Brahmanas," he is addressing the four Kumaras. He says that, "You know what? Mother Lakshmi is attached to my lotus feet only because I serve the Brahmanas." This is a statement made by the Supreme Lord. Is that true? If the Supreme Lord today says, "I will no longer respect the Brahmanas," will Mother Lakshmi leave his lotus feet and go? So the Acharyas give different explanations. Prabhupada takes a little bit a different stance. He says that this shows how much respect the Lord has for the Brahmanas. He doesn't say that, actually he doesn't comment in his purport by telling, yes, this is true. If the day the Supreme Lord gives up his respect for the Brahmanas, Mother Lakshmi will also leave. He doesn't say that. He says that this shows how much respect the Supreme Lord has for the Brahmanas, how much he considers them as a very vital cog in the functioning of the society. Vishnu Chakravarti says, oh, because the four Kumaras had committed an offense, this statement was spoken sarcastically by the Supreme Lord. The four Kumaras had unnecessarily cursed Jay and Vijay, who were pure devotees. So the Supreme Lord was not very happy. So he said, oh, you Brahmanas, you know, aap log itna bade, you know, you are like so great. Actually, na, Mother Lakshmi, who is standing right next to me, she is attached to my lotus feet only because I serve you Brahmanas. Aapko chod diya to Mother Lakshmi bhi mujhe chod degi. In that sense, it was spoken in a very sarcastic way, indicating, aap log apne aap ko kya samajh rahe hain? Vaikuntha mein aake mera nija parshad ko curse karke aap, you know, you wish to send them to the material world? What do you think? So, in that sense, it was spoken. But if you take the sentence itself, is it actually a siddhantically right statement? No. So, therefore, Shastra Yukti is very important. Even though the statements are there, you know, you may read Mahabharata, or Vishnu Puran, or Garuda Puran, so many Puranas and everything is there. But if the Vaishnavas have not commented and clarified the context and the explanations, then we cannot understand actually whether a particular statement needs to be literally taken, or the mood of the speaker is to be taken, or was it spoken sarcastically. How do we know? Therefore, it is very important. Therefore, purports are very important. Because that's the way we should understand scriptures. Without acharyas, we cannot understand anything actually. Even though the statements of the scriptures are there, but how do we know? Like that. So, we will try to understand this chapter in this light. Suta uvacha atatam sukam asina upasinam brihat shravaha devarshi praha viprarshim veena panismayan iva. Brihat shravaha means very famous. Shravas matlab fame. Brihat shrava matlab very famous. Devarshi Narada, who was very famous, veena panihi, he always roams with a veena in his hand. Sukam asina, after he was comfortably seated by Vyasadev, smayan iva, he was smiling. Smilingly, viprashim praha, he smilingly spoke to Vipradishi, Vyasadev. Upasinam, who was worshipping Narada Muni because he had accepted Narada Muni as his spiritual master. So, here both Prabhupada and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comment that a slight smile appeared on Narada Muni's lips, which shows that he knows everything. Sometimes we call it a knowing smile. Jaise has raha hai ki aapko sab kuch samajh mein aa gaya. You know, like that. So, he, from his smile, one could understand that he had understood the situation clearly. That was like sort of encouraging for Vyasadeva also. When you give that smile, pata hai sab kuch, baito main batata hoon. It was not possible for him to hide his smile by pretending something else because of the interesting questions he would pose. He understood in what direction this discussion is going to go. Sometimes if you have taught a particular chapter or course many times, then you know what questions would come up. And when you respond, what further questions would come up, everything you know. So, like that. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, Narada was smiling because he well knew the great sage Veda Vyas and the cause of his disappointment. As he will explain gradually, Vyasadeva's disappointment was due to insufficiency in presenting the science of devotional service. Prabhupada breaks the suspense right in the first purport only. Even though it is very nicely built up, till actually the whole conversation starts, but Prabhupada in the very first purport only, breaks the suspense. Narada knew this defect and it was confirmed by the position of Vyasa. Narada uvacha, Parasharya Mahabhaga Bhavata Kachidatmana Paritushyati Sharidi Sharida Atma Manasa Evava. Prabhupada gives a simple translation. We'll read Prabhupada's translation also. Srila Vishnajagada Guru gives a slightly elaborate translation here. So he says, Parasharya Mahabhaga, O son of Parashar, O most fortunate son of Parashar, Sharira Atma, if you think that your Sharira is your Atma or is your self, Kachit Bhavatah Sharira Atmana Paritushyati, is your body pleased with your body? Which means, are you satisfied? Manasa Atma, or if you think that your subtle body is yourself, is your subtle body pleased with your subtle body? So basically he is indicating that generally people who identify with their bodies, they are dissatisfied. You are the son of Parashar Muni. I am sure you would not be making that mistake. Why then are you dissatisfied? Dissatisfaction is characteristic of someone who is having bodily consciousness. You are spiritually situated. You are the son of Parashar Muni. How is it possible that you can be dissatisfied like that? So, Srila Vishnajagada Guru says, addressing Vyasa as the most fortunate son of Parashar, Narada suggests that if Vyasa possesses such powerful ancestry, how could he lament? Thus, he implies disappointment in Vyasadev. So, therefore, lineage definitely indicates something. Even though we may say that actually birth does not matter. To take up to bhakti or whatever. And Krishna also, we also say that Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. He doesn't say Janma Karma Vibhagashah. That is true. But having said that, it is not that birth also happens randomly. So, Krishna, there is ample evidence in the scriptures that one's birth is according to one's karma. Whatever karma he has performed, accordingly. And if he has performed some spiritual activities, then Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. So, no birth is by chance. Birth definitely indicates how we have exercised our free will in the previous life. But having said that, when we say that birth does not matter, or when Prabhupada says, what it means is merely birth does not matter. Just because you have been born in a particular family does not mean you don't have to do anything. You still have to exercise your free will in the right way in this life also. That's what it means. It does not mean that birth has absolutely no indication. Birth happens absolutely randomly. Doesn't matter. So then it means that there is nothing called law of karma. You are outright rejecting law of karma. That's not what is indicated. So many evidences in Bhagavad Gita also. Can you recollect something which indicates birth as having to do something with your previous birth? Previous
Krishna tells Bharata, he addresses Arjuna
with a lineage, Kaunteya, Bharata, indicating definitely if it had nothing, if birth was nothing, why would he address that way? Kaunteya. Yeah. Gehe, that's what we saw. Another place where 16th chapter, can you recollect something? Yeah. Where? There. Mashita sampadam daivim abhijatosi pandava, he says. Don't worry, you are born with divine qualities, he says. Born with divine qualities? We just thought birth has nothing to do. But it's not like that. So, birth definitely indicates how we have exercised our free will in the previous life. But having said that, we can't bask in the glories of our previous life. We have, in this life, we have the responsibility to exercise our free will in the right way. That's what it means. Last life is last life. For that, you have received some facility. Now, in this life, use that facility properly. That's what it means. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, this was a hint by Narada to Vyasadeva regarding the cause of his despondency. Vyasadeva, as the descendant of Parashar, a greatly powerful sage, had the privilege of having a great parentage, which should not have given Vyasadeva the cause for despondency. Being a great son of a great father, he should not have identified the self with the body or the mind. He didn't, actually. Vyasadeva does not belong to that category at all. Ordinary men with a poor fund of knowledge can identify the body as the self or the mind as the self. But Vyasadeva should not have done so. See, why he is addressing him like this? Because he had written bulk of the literature that he wrote was all Karmakandiya literatures, which is meant for people who identify with the gross and subtle body. You can't immediately raise them beyond that level. So here Narada Muni is addressing, what will be the result? You may be beyond the three modes. You may be beyond identification with body. But after compiling bulk of your literature which caters only to those people, what do you expect? Disappointment only will result, like that he is indicating. Okay, here also. So, he says, then Prabhupada writes, one cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind. So, kayatma suprasidati, savaipum samparo dharmo, yato bhaktir adokshaje, ahituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Then, he continues, jigyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbutam kritvan bharataram yastvam sarvartha paribrahmhitam. So he is evaluating the situation. Let's go over your sadhana card. That's what he is telling. Let's go over your sadhana card. So is your sadhana card indicating a cause of your despondency? Let's evaluate. So this is Vyasadeva's sadhana card. So he says, Tvam kritavan mahat adbutam bharatam. So Vyasadeva's sadhana card says, I wrote Mahabharat. So you wrote the most astonishing Mahabharat. Sarva artha paribrahmhitam. Paribrahmhitam means, brahmhitam means filled up to the brim. That's what it means. Filled with. Paribrahmitam means filled from all sides. So, sarva artha paribrahmitam. This Mahabharata is such a genius work that it is perfectly filled with all four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Jikyasitam susampannam, all that one desires, all of one's jigyasa to attain the goal of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, susampannam is perfectly catered to by this one book, Mahabharata. That's everything except prema, of course. So this work has perfectly presented all the purusharthas. So whatever desire a person may have is all completely answered in Mahabharata. So therefore, having compiled such a genius work, definitely, you know, lack of accomplishment, that's one of the reasons why people feel very despondent, either within the Brahmachari ashram or outside Brahmachari ashram, which they call as the midlife crisis or whatever terminologies they may want to use for it. It's like, you know, am I really accomplishing something? So that feeling. So here Vyasadeva is, Narada Muni is telling, I don't think lack of accomplishment is a reason for your despondency, because you have compiled something like Mahabharata, which has how many verses? 1 lakh verses. That one book alone, like that many such literatures he had compiled. So therefore, lack of accomplishment could not be a reason for your despondency. That's something that I can look from your sadhana card. So, Srila Prabhupada says, the despondency of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas. Jigyasitam adhitam cha brahma yattat sanatanam tatapishocha syatmanam akritartha iva prabho. So jigyasitam adhitam cha. So you may say that okay, that is about dharma, artha, kama, moksha, not so much about moksha, but lot about dharma, artha, kama. So if that is for, you may say that, oh, but that book is for stri shudra and dvijabandhus. Stri shudra dvijabandhu nam traina shruti gochara. So therefore he compiled Mahabharata. But he says, Narada Muni says, but even for the higher class of people also you have compiled literatures. Jikyasitam adhitam cha brahma yattat sanatanam. You have also investigated and realized the Brahman, which is sanatanam, eternal. Tatapi shochasi, but still you are lamenting. Atmanam akritartha iva, as if you have not accomplished anything. For the higher class, You have compiled the Brahma Sutras. For the lower class, you have compiled Mahabharata. And everything in between, for people in between, you have compiled the other scriptures. So, who else in this world has accomplished something more than this? So, lack of accomplishment certainly doesn't seem like a cause for your despondency. That's what Narada Muni is indicating here. Srila Prabhupada says, the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra compiled by Sri Vyasadeva is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity and the methods are scholarly. So there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadeva. So why should he lament? Okay. Narada, you can always stop me in between, and if you have some comments, questions.
Narada Muni is saying that these are not your cause for despondency.
Yeah.
So my question is, these can also be the cause for despondency?
Yeah. So it's like he knows the cause of despondency. So he is analyzing the superficial causes. So for someone like Vyasadeva, you know, there could be additional causes of despondency. So in general, people, if they are satisfied on these fronts, generally they are satisfied. And eventually, you know, the higher causes are evaluated. Vyasa says, Vyasa uvacha, astyeva me sarvam idam tvayoktam, tatapinatma paritushyate me, tanmolam avyaktam agada bodham, prachamahe tvatma bhavatma bhutam. Vyasadev, he says, sarvam idam me tvaya uktam astyeva. Whatever you have spoken, my dear Narada Muni, he is not showing any false humility. Oh, actually, I didn't write these scriptures. Not like that. Asti. Right. I have compiled Mahabharata and I have compiled Brahma Sutras and everything in between. So, what you say is right. There must actually not be any reason for me to lament here. Tatapi me atma na paritushyate. But still, my mind and body are not satisfied. I am not feeling satisfied. Prachamahe tvam, isliye main aapko pooch raha hu. That's why I am asking you. Tad avyakta moolam, there is some root cause of my despondency, but I am not able to see that root. The root is avyakta. Atma bhavatma bhutam. But still I am asking you, because you are really qualified to understand the situation. Atma bhavatma bhutam. You are born directly from Atma Bhu. Swayam Bhu, Brahmaji. You are the son of Brahma. So therefore you are qualified. Agada bhutam. And because of which you possess great knowledge. You have learned directly from Brahma, from whose four mouths the four Vedas emanate. So therefore, you can see that which is invisible to me, you can see. So that moola, that root is invisible to me, but I have full faith that it will be visible to you. So therefore, you please speak. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying with the body or mind with the self. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind. And that is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected. What is Prabhupada talking about? What is Prabhupada talking about? When I ask this question, it means which part of the verse is Prabhupada talking about? That's what I mean. Avyakta moolam. The root cause is not always detected. Even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in materialistic knowledge, it is good therefore to approach a personality like Narada to solve the root cause of all despondencies. What is Prabhupada talking about? Prachamahe tvam. Why Narada should be approached is explained below. Means in the next verse. So he continues.
Savai bhavan veda samasta guhyam upasito yat purusha puranaha paravaresho manasaiva vishvam srijatyavatyatti gunaira sangaha.
He says, Sahavai Bhavan. Vyasadeva is addressing Narada Muni. You are non-different from the Supreme Lord, being an empowered incarnation of the Lord. He is also one. Vyasadeva is also an empowered incarnation. Narada Muni is also one. So he says, Sahavai Bhavan. Bhavan means you. Sahavai, you are certainly that Supreme Lord. Meaning, you are empowered by that Supreme Lord. Veda Samasta Guhyam. And you must therefore certainly be knowing all the secrets of the Vedic knowledge. Why? Yat Puranaha Purushaha Upasitaha. Because you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you know everything. Yasmin vigyate sarvamevam vigyatam bhavati, as Prabhupada quotes always. One who knows the Supreme Lord. And who knows the Supreme Lord? Bhaktyamam abhijanati. So therefore he says, because yat means because, yat puranaha purushaha upasitaha, because you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore veda samasta guhyam, you must be knowing everything. Not that Vyasadeva is not worshipping the Supreme Lord. He also worships the Supreme Lord. But then he is telling, he is seeing that qualification in Narada Muni. He sees Narada Muni as one who is more perfectly worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The more one progresses, the more one sees the other person performing better devotional service. So therefore, again, we may say that you worship the Supreme Lord, therefore you know, but I don't know. So we may say, hence, this proves that Vyasadeva was not worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we cannot conclude like that. So that is applying material logic to understand. We should apply. That's what he meant. So this is applying material logic. So, but this is not material logic. You know, we cannot apply material logic here, because here the humility of Vyasadeva is coming out. You are a devotee. You know. So you please explain to me. Hence proved. He is not a devotee, because he is telling, I don't know. You know because you are a devotee. So therefore, he is not a devotee. False. Because this indicates his mode of humility. This does not indicate literally that he was not actually worshipping the Supreme Lord. Actually, these are very easy to detect. I am taking very simple examples to explain. But when it becomes, when we get more into little more complex pastimes, we will seamlessly go into the difference between Shastra Yukti and our Pratyaksha based Yukti becomes almost you can't differentiate actually. Because not all pastimes are beyond our logic also. Like that. So he says, you know, certainly you know all secrets because you worship the original person. Who is that original person? Paravaresha. Para avara ishaha. Para means he is the Lord of cause and effect. Para avara is used in different contexts. It means different meaning. Para avara means superior and inferior also. In some context. Can you recollect some context where para avara means superior and inferior? Where?
In Bhagavad Gita. Krishna talks about inferior elements and
apareyam itastvanyam, he says. Okay. But there are many contexts in many places where the word para and avara is used in the sense of being superior and inferior. But para and avara also means cause and effect in this context. He is the Lord of cause and effect. Asangaha. Srijati avati atti vishvam gunaihi. Srijati means he creates, avati means he maintains, atti means he destroys. What does he create, maintain and destroy? Vishwam, this universe. How does he do it? Gunaihi, through the three modes. Then, does he get affected by the three modes? No, asangaihi. He is not affected by the three modes. Even though he may create, maintain and destroy using the three modes, he is not directly in touch with the three modes also. Through the agency of Maya, he is in touch. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Their prakriti means Maya. And what is the nature of that Maya? Tribir gunamayer bhavair evis sarvam idam jagat. Tribir gunamayer. Daivi esha gunamayi. So the Maya is gunamayi. And because that Maya belongs to the Supreme Lord, the Lord may be said to be indirectly in touch with the three modes. But is he affected by that touch? He says asangaihi. He is not touched by the three modes. That's what is mentioned. Asangaha. So he says that you certainly know, Narada Muni, you know the secrets. Because you worship that Supreme Lord who creates, maintains and destroys this material universe through the three modes, but still he is unaffected by the touch of the three modes. And how does he create, maintain and destroy? Does he do it personally? Manasa eva, just by his will. Satya sankalpa shakti. So he thinks, let there be creation, and paraasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. All his other energies, they become active and everything is carried out without the need for any personal intervention. Like that. So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur comments here. He says, you have described me as the son of Parashar with a great lineage, with knowledge of the four Vedas and realization of the Brahman. But you are the son of Brahma, who is omniscient and worshipper of the Supreme Lord, Agatha Bodham. In all ways, you are superior to me. That's what is Vyasadeva indicating to Narada Muni. That is understood when Vyasadeva says, Puranaha Purushaha Upasitaha. You worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why you are superior. That Lord is certainly you, since you are Narada, an avatar of the Lord. Savai Bhavan. Like that. Therefore, you know the whole secret and the secret behind all things. Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam. Upasito Yat Purusha Puranaha. Paravaresho Manasaiva Vishwam Srijat Ajatyati Gunaira Sangaha. Like that. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, a person who is sent person engaged in the service of the Lord is the emblem of all knowledge. So therefore, what Vyasadeva is indicating is, I may also worship the Supreme Lord, but you are sent person engaged in the worship of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, you know all, everything, like that. Such a devotee of the Lord in full perfection of devotional service is also perfect by the qualification of the personality of Godhead. So one who 100%, 100% worships the Supreme Lord, he is also endowed with the ability and knowledge of the Supreme Lord. As such, the eightfold perfections of mystic power, Ashta Siddhi, constitute very little of his godly opulence. A devotee like Narada can act wonderfully by his spiritual perfection, which every individual is trying to attain. Srila Narada is a 100% perfect living being, although not equal to the personality of Godhead. He is 100% performing devotional service. So then further Vyasadeva glorifies Narada Muni. Yeah. The Lord of cause and effect. Okay. So in second canto we will see the creation, how the universe is created. So we will see, first there is Pradhan. Pradhan means the universe in the form of just raw materials. Like what did you have for breakfast today? Tamarind rice. So Pradhan is imli and oil uncooked rice, singdana, salt, water, kadipatta, etc. Okay. In their raw material form. Okay. So then step by step, you know, first rice is cooked, then the, you know, the gravy, you know, for making the tamarind rice, if that's all put together and cooked. So there are different stages. So this prakriti or this pradhan is said to be the original cause. And the effect is, first effect is mahat tattva. Okay, it is still not yet tamarind rice, somewhere in between. Okay, but that mahat tattva becomes the intermediate cause of ahankar. Okay, and then that ahankar becomes the intermediate cause of mind, intelligence, senses, like that. So there is cause effect, cause effect, cause effect. But the lord of all that causes and effect is Krishna. That's what it means. He controls everything. What happened?
Light is fluctuating.
We can't do anything. Just leave it. That's it. I don't think it will get tripped. Maybe someone is using a welding machine or something like that somewhere.
The voltage is
fluctuating. It's okay. No problem. So then he continues. Tvam pariyatan arka ivastri lokim antascharo vayurivatma sakshi paravare brahmani dharmato vratayhi snatasya menyo namalam vichakshva. See, here also paravare comes, but it takes different meanings here in this verse. We'll see. Tvam pariyatan. Pariyatan means to attan or atasi, as the gopis pray. Atasi yad bhavan ahanikananam. So attan means to move. Pariyatan means moving everywhere. So the prefix pari in Sanskrit is like the English prefix peri, as in perimeter, all around. So pari attan means moving everywhere. Narada Muni could move anywhere. So Vyasadeva is telling, tvam pariyatan, you move arka iva, just like the sun can move everywhere. Similarly, he says that arka iva, like the sun, you can also move everywhere. Trilokim, the three worlds. Tvam pariyatan arka ivas trilokim, and the sun also illuminates, shows everything. So therefore, he is indicating, Narada Muni is indicating that just like Yahan Krishna Tahanai Mayara Adhikar, Krishna Surya Sama. So the nature of sun is to reveal, the nature of light is to reveal. So by comparing Vyasadeva, Narada Muni with the sun, Vyasadeva is indicating that you can see everything. What I cannot see, you can see. Antascharo Vayuriva Atma Sakshi. So not only are you like the sun, because the sun cannot enter into a cave, though the sun can illuminate, but the air can move everywhere, even in between the small gaps between the if the cave is blocked with a stone, there is certainly no way that sunlight can enter, but air can enter. But air cannot illuminate. So Narada Muni has the ability of air to go everywhere, and he has the ability of sun to illuminate. So that's what he's indicating. Tvam pariyatan arka ivas trilokim antascharo vayur ivatma sakshi. So therefore, he says that even though sun can illuminate, but sun cannot go everywhere. The sun rays cannot reach everywhere. So there might be, I may have the ability to illuminate, but your heart may be so covered up that I may not be able to reach the inner recesses of your heart, and I may not be able to find out the real reason behind your disappointment. He says, no, Vayu river, just like the air can enter everywhere, even small gap it gets, it can enter. So you are like the, you are like Vayu and you are like sun. You have the ability to enter into the innermost recesses which have no access even to the sun rays. And you have the ability to illuminate that place just like the sun. Like that he is addressing Narada Muni. You are the best of Vayu and Surya. Tvam paryatan arka iva strilokim antascharo vayur iva atma sakshi. Paravare brahmani dharmato vratayhi. Snatasya. Snatasya means I have perfected. Snatasya me. I have perfected. Avare brahmani, pare brahmani. Avare brahmani means the Vedas. Parabrahmani means the Brahman. I have realized the imports of the Vedas. I have realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His impersonal feature. Pare brahmani, avare brahmani, snatasya me. I have become perfectly proficient in both. Dharmato vratayhi. And I have learned them in the proper way. By following proper dharma, I have learned. I have not copied in the exams to pass the exam. By following proper methods, I have learned the Vedas, I have realized the Brahman. Nyunam, but still there is some deficiency. Nyunam, nyunam means deficiency. Deficiency. Vichakshva, please consider this. So Vyasadeva is very clear because he knows the symptoms of a person who has understood the Vedas. He knows the symptoms of one who is Brahman realized. He can clearly evaluate himself. He says, yes, I am Brahman realized, but still I am feeling deficient. What is the cause? Can you please look into this matter? Vichakshva, meaning, can you please evaluate what is the reason? Okay. Let's try to, without looking at the book, can you try to recollect the words of the shloka, whatever you can, in no specific order. Para avare brahmani. Para brahmani refers to? Yeah, the Brahman. The Brahman. And avare brahmani refers to? The Vedas. Paryatan means you wander. Who does Paryatan? Narada Muni. Tvam Paryatan. Vyasadeva is addressing Narada Muni. Tvam Paryatan. So Paryatan like whom?
Like air and
that's like sun. Arka iva.
Okay.
Like the sun. Tvam Paryatan Arka iva. Where does the sun move? Three planetary systems. Trilokim. Tvam Paryatan Arka iva Trilokim. Okay. But and then he says Vayur iva. What is the nature of Vayu? It can penetrate inside and outside. Antascharo Vayur iva Atma Sakshi. Therefore, you are like the Paramatma who can witness everything. Then what does he say? Paravare Brahmani Snatasya. I have perfectly I have become proficient in Parabrahmani and Avare Brahmani. Parabrahmani Paravare Brahmani Snatasya me. But then? Nyunam. But still I feel deficient. Vichakshva. Can you please look into this matter? Like that. So he is asking. Did we leave anything? dharmato vratayhi. He says that I have realized the Vedas, I have become proficient in Vedas and I have realized the Brahman, and all of that without cutting corners. I have properly followed the methods to realize the Vedas and Brahman. But still I feel deficient. Can you please look into this matter? This is what he is requesting Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada says, transcendental realization, pious activities, worshipping the deities, charity and mercifulness, non-violence and studying the scriptures under strict disciplinary regulations are always helpful. So, whatever Vyasadeva has mentioned here that he has done, he is telling that it's very helpful. You know, one should do that. Not as a replacement for devotional service, but along with the devotional service. Okay. Can you recollect something, a verse that sounds similar to Prabhupada's purport in Bhagavad Gita? What is that? Which one? Which verse is that? Yajyadana tapakarma natyajyam karyamevatat. Yajyadanat yajnedanas tapascheva pavanani manishinah. Krishna says. Same thing. Okay. So now, Vyasadev has presented his case. Now Narada Muni is going to evaluate Vyasadev. He is going to present his, he very superficially said, oh, let me look at your sadhana card. Mahabharata likha hai, Brahma Sutra bhi likha hai. And in between also you have written so many things. मुझे तो नहीं लग रहा है कि जिसका ऐसा साधना हो तो उसको डिसटिस्फैक्शन तो होना नहीं चाहिए, क्यों हो रहा है? सो व्यासदेव से सही है, सही आप जो बोल रहे हैं सही है, पर फिर भी यू नो आई डोंट फील वेरी सैटिस्फाइड, सो कैन यू प्लीज लुक इन टू दिस मैटर. सो नाउ नारद मुनि इज गोइंग टू टेक हिज AK-47 एंड देन जस्ट you know, non-stop for the next 8 to 22, Narada Muni's instructions, very, very important section. Let's see what Narada Muni has to say. Shri Narada Uvacha, Bhavata Anudita Prayam Yasho Bhagavato Malam Yenai Vasau Natushyeta Manyeta Darshanam Kilam. First verse only he shoots. He says, Bhavata Anudita Prayam. Anudita literally means you have, Udita means spoken. Anudita means you have not spoken. Prayam Anudita means you have almost not spoken. Which means, if let's say if in 10 liters of some sabji, if you want to make 10 liters of sabji and if you have to put let's say 1 cup of salt, that is, you know, they, if you go to the kitchen, some of you might have some proficiency in cooking, you know, ek 10 liter ka sabji banna hai, बनाना है तो कितना नमक जाएगा उसमें, यू नो श्याम प्यारे प्रभु अंडाल इफ यू एस्क, यू नो वो फाइनल काउंट कितना है, यू नो और व्हाट इज द फाइनल क्वांटिटी, एंड देन अकॉर्डिंगली ही विल पुट सॉल्ट. सो इफ फॉर 10 लीटर सब्जी 1 कप सॉल्ट नीड्स टू गो एंड इफ यू पुट 1 टीस्पून सॉल्ट इन दैट, ओके, इट्स एज गुड एज नॉट पुटिंग सॉल्ट. But it's not that it has no salt at all, right? But that 1 teaspoon salt is as good as no salt. So therefore he says, Bhavata Anudita Prayam. Almost you have not spoken about Amalam Bhagavato Yashah, the glories of the spotless Lord Krishna. Which is not true. He has spoken. But what Narada Muni is indicating is not sufficient. One teaspoon salt is not sufficient for 10 liters of sabji. You know, one cup is needed. So he says, Bhavata anudita prayam amalam bhagavato yashaha. Yena eva, because of this act of not sufficiently glorifying the Supreme Lord, asau natushyeta. That is why your mind could not be satisfied in spite of compiling Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Darshana. We say Shad Darshan. Six systems of philosophy. So Vyasadeva's Darshan is Vedanta Darshan. So he says, Yena eva asauna tushyeta. That is why your mind could not be satisfied with Vedanta. And then he says, Manye tad darshanam khilam. So therefore, I consider that darshan which could not give you any satisfaction as khilam, means very inferior or insufficient darshan. So, bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato amalam. Yena eva asau na tushyeta manye tad darshanam khilam. Okay. So, let's try to recollect the words. I will tell the Sanskrit, then you recollect the meaning. You tell the meaning without looking at your book. Bhavata.
You.
By you. Anudita. Anudita. You have not spoken. Prayam. Prayam means what? Prayam.
Almost.
You have almost not spoken. Bhagavato amalam yashah.
The glories of the spotless Lord.
The glories of the spotless Lord. Or the spotless glories of the Lord. Either way. Same thing. Bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato amalam. Yena. Yena means what? By this. That by which. Yena eva. That by which. Asau na tushyeta. Na tushyeta. Not satisfied. That by which you could not be satisfied, that darshan, here it refers to Vedanta. Manye. In my opinion, I consider, I think, tad darshanam. It does not mean that your vision. Tad darshanam. Here refers to
Vedanta
Sutra. Khilam. Inferior, insufficient. So that's what he is telling. So, bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato amalam yena eva asau na tushyeta manyeta darshanam khilam. So, Vyasadeva may say, I have produced Brahma Mimamsa. Still I am not satisfied. Brahma Mimamsa here refers to Vedanta Sutra. So, Narada Muni says, let me try to be honest, my dear Vyasadev. I consider that as insufficient. Vedanta Sutra is insufficient. So, he says, Khilam, you are the writer of Vedanta, and if your mind is dissatisfied with this, then how will those who continually study this darshan be satisfied? You are the proof that this darshan is insufficient. Because Vedanta Sutra was the best that Vyasadeva had compiled till then. And he said, if that is not able to satisfy you, then people who read it will also not be satisfied. Yes, approved. So, Srila Prabhupada says here, the Lord has expanded himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them. And this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. Even though, yeah, so bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato amalam. Such a scholar as Vyasadeva has completed many expansions of the Vedic literatures, ending with the Vedanta philosophy. But none of them have been written directly glorifying the personality of Godhead.
dry philosophical speculations even on the transcendental subject of the absolute have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. All of them may indirectly glorify the Lord, but there is no direct glorification. So see, from the verses and purports, it might seem like, you know, the other literatures have no use at all, right? It will become more and more, we will feel like that when we go further. But that's not what it means. Because Narada Muni has come here with a specific purpose. That to establish, to show to Vyasadev the importance of compiling a literature which is purely dedicated to glorifying the Supreme Lord. So in that mode he is speaking these verses. So it should be understood in that way also, that way only. It's not that after meeting Narada Muni, Vyasadeva was anyway right on the banks of Mother Saraswati. It's not that he picked up all his Vedanta Sutra and all the Vedic literatures and everything and dumped it in the Saraswati River. He didn't do that. Yeah? So therefore, we should also not have that kind of attitude also. So in Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur evaluates the 10 offenses. He gives his insights into the 10 offenses to the holy name. One of the offenses to the holy name is to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures and scriptures which have So, Shruti Shastra Ninda. So, because I speak English, but every day morning I am so much used to chanting the 10 offenses in Marathi that I have forgotten the, you know, scriptures in pursuance of the Vedic version. I remember so many years back I used to chant it when I was in Chowpatti. So now I remember only the Marathi, you know, even though I don't speak Marathi, but 10 offenses I can speak in Marathi. So Shruti Shastra Ninda, that is the, which offense is that?
Fourth
offense. So, Vishnachakrita Thakur says, those devotees who have accepted the path of bhakti, will they ever blaspheme the literatures? Will they ever blaspheme the Vedic literatures? Have you ever seen a devotee blaspheme Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? No, never. So he says, so Shruti Shastra Ninda does not talk about, it's not just about Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, but we may think, but we may have a very condescending attitude towards the other scriptures which are not talking about pure devotional service. So someone may say, aapne char ved padha hai kya? Upanishad padha hai kya? You may think, Upanishad? Wo kaun padhega? Sabka saar idhar hai, Upanishad ka kuch value hi nahi hai. We may not say like that, but internally we may sort of feel like that. Is this? So Shruti Shastra Ninda, we may have that kind of an attitude towards the other scriptures which do not talk about direct pure devotional service. So he says that is one of the offenses to the holy name. So there are two extremes. One is to think that every Vedic injunction is meant for me to be followed. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says sarvadharman parityajya, yeah, I should follow it. Then he says that karmanyevadhikaraste mahaphaleshu kadachana, oh, that is also meant for me only. How do you follow both? Both are contradictory injunctions, right? One, he says, karmanyevadhikaraste, to perform your prescribed duties, is the injunction that he says here. Sarvadharman parityajya, give up all dharma. That is the other injunction. Are both injunctions meant to be followed by one person only? And somewhere else he says that sahayagya praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prashavishyadvam eshavostu ishtakamadu. Arjuna, cooperate with the demigods. Perform the sacrifices meant for pleasing the demigods and they will give you everything in return. Elsewhere he says, kama istaister hrutajnana prapadyante anya devata alpamedasam, and so many places, you know. So which of the injunctions? Here he is recommending and later he is calling them alpamedasam, hrutajnana. So because, you know, Vedic scriptures are meant for, different injunctions are meant for people at different levels. So one understands that for someone who has not received the seed of pure devotional service, for him these Vedic literatures are capable of elevating his consciousness. So one extreme is to consider all Vedic literatures and all Vedic injunctions are meant for me, I should be following, which makes no sense because there are so many contradictory injunctions. And the other extreme is to think, apart from scriptures which speak about pure devotion, all other scriptures have no utility for anyone. Okay, so these are the two extremes, both are wrong. To think that all Vedic injunctions are meant to be followed by everyone, that is also wrong. And the other extreme is to think that except for bhakti, all the other scriptures have no utility for anyone. That is also wrong. So we might tend to do this kind of Shruti Shastra Ninda, especially the second one. भागवतम भगवत गीता उसको छोड़ के और कुछ शास्त्र का जरूरत है ही नहीं ना हमारे लिए, किसी और के लिए भी कुछ जरूरत ही नहीं है. दैट इज रॉन्ग बिकॉज टिल दे रिसीव द सीड ऑफ भक्ति विच इज वेरी रेयर, व्हाट शुड दे डू? ओनली इफ दे हैव द सीड ऑफ भक्ति, इफ दे हैव रिसीव्ड द श्रद्धा इन शास्त्रस, देन दे विल एक्सेप्ट the bhakti shastras. Till then what they should do?
They should continue performing from other scriptures.
Yeah, from other scriptures. Yeah.
We, but the other scripture, the time is so short in this Kali Yuga.
Correct.
People have very less time. So we may not directly impose them for bhakti only, but at least Bhagavad Gita is not, Bhagavad Gita can, it's not too high. It's like we may not disrespect other scriptures, but why to bring, personally,
correct,
why to bring other scripture which again it will take some other direction? Why not to give at least Bhagavad Gita instead of Bhakti? Like, is it okay?
Correct.
We may not disrespect other scriptures.
Correct. The point is, we can give something which we already have, right? Whatever Shraddha we have, only that Shraddha we can give to others. But we have to do it in a very understanding way. If they are already practicing something and they are really deep rooted into it, so we have to give them the Shraddha. We may not give them directly, take Bhagavatam, but we have to create the faith in them. We'll talk little more about this when Narada Muni directly will speak about it. We will touch this subject matter. We'll go into it little bit more later. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the Lord has expanded himself as living beings in order to accept the loving. Oh, okay. Later he says, the compiler of the Vedanta Darshan is Vyasadeva himself, yet he is troubled, although he is the author. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta, which is not explained directly by Vyasadeva, the author? Herein arises the necessity of explaining Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam by the self same author. Like that. Which was not commented upon directly. Explained, further elaborated. He only wrote, but he didn't elaborate on it. They were just sutras. So, he wrote the Bhagavatam to elaborate on the Vedanta Sutras. That's why it is called Bhashyam Brahma Sutra.
Apart from Bhagavatam, there is no commentary on Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva.
By Vyasadeva, but no. Other acharyas have commented. Yeah. That is why in our line, there was no commentary on Vedanta Sutras at all. Till the Ramanandis raised this thing. Hey, how can you call yourself a bona fide sampradaya? Do you have Brahma Sutra commentary? This is wait. Tomorrow you will have. And then overnight, Govindji came and dictated the whole Bhashya. Next day morning, Govinda Bhashya was ready. So, otherwise, our acharyas never felt. Jiva Goswami has written, how many original verses Jiva Goswami has written? 4 lakh original verses. Not one verse as a commentary for Vedanta Sutra. Rupa Goswami, 6 Goswamis. So extensively, after that, you know, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Baldev Devotion, so many acharyas have written so many books, but not a single commentary on Vedanta Sutras. Baldev Devotion, when confronted, you know, he wrote like that.
So Govinda Bhashya is another set of verses besides the Srimad
Bhagavatam. Yeah. This is not, Bhagavatam is not a verse by verse commentary of Vedanta Sutra.
Essence.
In essence. But thematic, it's a thematic commentary, you can say. But Govinda Bhashya is like a verse by verse commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Okay. But Vyasadeva may say, in the previous verse, he said that Bhavata Anudita Prayam Yesho Bhagavato Amalam. You have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord. So Vyasadeva may say, what do you mean, not sufficiently glorified? So many Puranas I have written in which I have directly glorified the Supreme Lord. Padma Puran, Vishnu Puran, so many Puranas I have compiled. In all those Puranas I have sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord. How can you say I have not glorified? So Narada Muni responds, Yata Dharmada Yascharta Muni Varyano Kirtitaha Natata Vasudevasya Mahimahyano Varnitaha. O Muni Varya, O Venerable Sage Vyasadev, Natata Anuvarnitaha. You have glorified the Supreme Lord, but you have not repeatedly glorified the Supreme Lord. Vasudevasya mahima na tata anuvarnitah. You have not repeatedly glorified. Anu, the prefix anu means to follow. The prefix anu also means continuous. As in NOD we saw, right? Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. One of the meanings of Anu is continuous. So, na tata anuvarnita. You have not repeatedly glorified. Yata dharmadayascha artha anukirtitah. To the extent you have continuously glorified dharma, artha, kama and moksha, to that extent you have not glorified the Supreme Lord. So, you may say that, see, 20,000 verses, I just count, I did a folio search of all the literatures that I have written, and I came up with 20,000 verses glorifying the Supreme Lord. Now you are telling, I have not written sufficiently. So, Narada Muni says, oh, I did another folio search. Dharma, Artha, Kama put together, you have glorified 20 lakh verses. And in comparison to that, what is 20,000? So, he says, to the extent you have glorified Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, to that extent you have not glorified Supreme Lord. So, anyone who goes through your literatures, whatever is repeated the most, that's what they will consider to be the most important. So, therefore, in one sense, you have sort of misguided. So, yata dharmadayascharta munivaryanu kirtitah na tata vasudevasya mahima hi anuki anuvarnita. To the extent you have glorified dharma artha kama moksha, to that extent you have not glorified the Supreme Lord. So, you are in one sense misguiding. Whatever you have emphasized, people will think that is the most important. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur elaborates first the mode of Vyasadeva and the mode of Narada Muni. Here is, even though unstated, there is a conversation that is happening. Even though it seems like Narada Muni is only speaking from 8 to 22, but nevertheless, there is an unspoken conversation that is happening. Because Narada Muni is addressing the inner concerns of Vyasadeva. And those inner concerns are brought out by the Acharyas in their, through their commentaries. So what is the inner concern of Vyasadeva? Vyasadeva says, but I have described the wonderful qualities and pastimes of Krishna in the Padma Puran and other Puranas as well. How can you say that I have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord? So Narada Muni says, you have not described the glories of Vasudeva as much as you have described Artha, Dharma, Kama and Moksha as the goals of human life. Even though they are much inferior to the glories of Vasudev, Krishna, you have glorified them so much as if they are much more superior to the glories of Vasudev. This is the mistake. Though Vasudev is the crest jewel of human goals, you have not described him as the goal of human endeavor. So he says, glorification hai. So he's telling 20,000 verses jo aapne dikhaya, wo 20,000 mein se 18,000 verses are glorifying Krishna as the provider of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So is that really glorification of Krishna? Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, the Prayojan is the supermost. So you have spoken, you have glorified Krishna as the provider of that Prayojan. So, how is that real glorification of Krishna? So, 20,000 mein se 18,000 to, you know, it is only a very superficial glorification. It is not really glorification. So, oh, he gives me this, he gives me that, you know. You know, he is my best friend because he always gives me a chocolate every day, like children say. So, he is the best friend because he gives me a chocolate, which means his attraction is to the chocolate only, not to the friend. Child does not say, he is my best friend and he gives me a chocolate every day, which means, irrespective of whether he gives me a chocolate or not, he is my best friend. But many places in the scriptures he is telling he is the supreme lord because he can give moksha. So the reader is concerned about moksha. So therefore for him the lord is great because he gives moksha, not because of his glorious qualities. So he says that though you have described the glories of Krishna abundantly in many places, they have been described only as a means of getting moksha. How can your mind be satisfied when there is a lack of regard for that which should have been given the most regard? Now I am asking you, Vyasadeva, do you think moksha is the best that Krishna can offer? Is that a real glorification? The best that Krishna has to offer is himself. You have not sufficiently glorified Krishna as the highest object of attainment. You have glorified Krishna as a means of attaining moksha. Is that a real glorification of Krishna? It is like telling, it is like Duryodhana wanted Narayani Sena, Arjuna wanted Krishna. So what is better, Narayani Sena or Krishna? For devotees it is Krishna. So you have glorified Krishna as the giver of Narayani Sena. Is that a real glorification? Krishna gave himself to Arjuna. Isn't that a higher attainment? So your so-called glorification of the Lord, also most of it is glorifying him as a provider of moksha. It's not a real glorification. That's what he is indicating. But Vyasadeva says, wait. You mean to say all my glorifications are glorifying Krishna as the giver of moksha? He says, let me quote. Padma Puran. Anyatra punyatirteshu muktir eva mahafalam muktai prartya harer bhaktir maturayam chalabhyate. So this is one of the Padma Puran, he says, liberation is the highest goal in visiting other holy places. But devotion to the Lord, which is prayed for by those liberated souls, can be obtained at Mathura. From this statement, what does it indicate? Bhakti is higher than mukti. Because the liberated souls are praying for bhakti. So I have glorified bhakti as being superior to mukti or not? Yes. And in Bhagavad Gita also he says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. So after attaining that Brahma Bhuta stage, then you get bhakti, which means bhakti is superior. Who wrote Bhagavad Gita? I only compiled. Right? So how can you say that I have glorified the Supreme Lord only as a means of attaining moksha? Yes, I have glorified the Supreme Lord as a means of attaining moksha, but I have written these kind of verses also. So Narada Muni says, but you have not done so repeatedly. Very sporadic here and there. People might miss it. You must do so. You must do so repeatedly, because it is said that the meaning of the scriptures is revealed only by repetition. He quotes this Vedanta Sutra. You only wrote Anandamayo Abhyasat. Abhyasa means practice. Abhyasa also means repetition. So the meaning of this verse is, the Anandamaya Purusha is established to be the Supreme Lord. What is the proof? Abhyasat. Because it is, this statement is repeated in the scriptures. Therefore, by such a repetition, it is established that the Anandamaya Purusha is the Supreme Lord. So therefore, your mind will be satisfied only when you describe very clearly with repetition the glories of the Lord, since those glories alone are finally the most excellent. So, a quick recap. In the first verse, he said that Bhavata Anudita Prayam Yesho Bhagavato Amalam. You have not sufficiently glorified. So, Vyasadeva says, who said? In Padma Puran and other scriptures, I have glorified the past tense of the Supreme Lord. He says, not to the extent you have glorified Dharmartha Kama Moksha, to that extent you have not glorified the Supreme Lord. Or is still that so many glories are there. So Narada Muni says, they are not true glories. You have glorified the Supreme Lord as the giver of moksha. But the Supreme Lord gives himself. So Supreme Lord himself is the highest Purusharta. Where have you glorified that? Oh, he says, yeah, Padma Puran, Bhagavad Gita, I have glorified. But how much? Very few here and there sporadic. You have not continuously glorified. Na anukirtitaha. So therefore, because you have not continuously glorified the Supreme Lord as the highest goal, therefore, he says that it is not, therefore you are dissatisfied. Because you have not done the right thing. Okay. So, okay, we will get back to this verse later. Let's see what Prabhupada has to say. Prabhupada says, the prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. Not really deliberate in that sense. So he wanted, he had a purpose. Okay.
In that sense.
He has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. What is Prabhupada talking about?
Comparative.
When I ask this question, it means in this verse, what is he talking about? Yata dharmadayas charta munivarya anukirtitaha. Natata, to the extent he has glorified Dharmartha Kama Moksha, not to that extent. Later Prabhupada says, from this it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, one is engaged in pure devotional service. What is Prabhupada talking about? Why is Prabhupada talking this? Can you try to... I will read again and tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, one is engaged in pure devotional service. Huh? What is Prabhupada talking about? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashojati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. This is called the stage of self-realization, of the Brahma Bhuta stage. After attainment of this Brahma Bhuta stage, one is satisfied. But satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. That's what Krishna says. Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Indicates that loving service of the Lord is a higher goal to attain than this moksha, which gives at the most a neutral freedom from suffering, material suffering. That's all. Okay. So this is where we are. We will take a short 5-minute break and then we will continue further. Srila Prabhupada ki. I was just thinking, you know, as Prabhupada says Bhagavatam is the personification of Krishna and Bhaktirasam Sandhu is the personification of Radharani. So he says, so right next to, you know, Barsana, we are sitting and we got an opportunity to discuss Bhaktirasam Sandhu here. And this thought just came to my mind. What better place than right next to Sriji temple? Man Mandir, yeah. Okay. So, what was the first thing that Narada Muni indicated? You're not sufficiently glorified. Then what did he say? To the extent you have glorified dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you have not glorified. And whatever little glorification is indirect glorification as a means to attain moksha. And whatever very little you have glorified, directly glorified Krishna as the object of attainment is very too infrequent and sporadic. So therefore you are not satisfied. So then in the next verse he says, so direct glorification of, where there is no direct glorification of Krishna, however poetic that verse might be, it will not lead to any kind of satisfaction. So he says, Nayadvachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragranita karhichit tadvayasam tirtam ushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantyu shikshayaha. So he says, yad chitra padam vachaha, vachaha means verses, chitra padam means very beautifully composed. Na karhichit pragrinita. But if those verses do not glorify, pragrinita. Grinita means to glorify. Pragrinita means to fully glorify. Harer yashah, the glories of the Supreme Lord. Jagat pavitram. What is the nature of the glories of the Supreme Lord? It can purify the whole universe. So such verses which do not glorify the Lord, tad ushanti, they are considered. Considered by whom? Manasa. Manasa means those devotees who have captured the Lord within their mind. Where is the mind? Where is the mind? Acha.
Heart.
The mind is here. Kapila Dev describes in third canto, heart. Heart is the, you have gross organs and subtle organs, right? Gross body, subtle body. So the heart is the gross organ which houses four subtle organs. What are they? Mind, intelligence, chitta, and ahankar. So these four subtle organs are housed in the heart. So sometimes when it is said that the devotees have captured the Lord in their mind, or the devotees have captured the Lord in their heart, it is the same, because mind is here, not here. Intelligence is here, not here. Like that. Brain is here, but intelligence is here. Like that. Tad ushanti manasa. Such works are considered by devotees who have captured the mind of the Lord. So, 3-4 explanations we will see are given about the meaning of the word manasa. So, manasa means those devotees in whose minds the Lord has been captured, or the other meaning is those devotees who have captured the mind of the Lord. That is another explanation, manasa. Or they have understood the heart of the Lord. What is there in the heart of the Lord? That is the meaning of manasa. So they consider tad ushanti manasa vayasam tirtam. Vayasam means not payasam. What is vayasam?
Cross.
Tirtham means a holy place of pilgrimage. What do the crows consider as a very holy place of pilgrimage? The garbage dumpster. That's the, when they want to really have a party, that's where they go. తద్వాయసం తీర్థం ఉషంతి మానస బట్ యత్ర బట్ దట్ ప్లేస్ హియర్ రెఫర్స్ టు వాట్ బికాస్ ప్లేస్ ఇస్ అ మెటఫారికల్ ఇట్స్ యూస్డ్ ఇన్ అ మెటఫారికల్ సెన్స్ దట్ ప్లేస్ రెఫర్స్ హియర్ టు వాట్ దోస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ విచ్ డు నాట్ గ్లోరిఫై ది హరేర్ యశః సో దట్ ప్లేస్ ఇస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ ఉషిక్షయా హంస హంస మీన్స్ ది గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ హియర్ యునో వెరీ హై క్లాస్ బర్డ్స్ డివోటీస్ ఉషిక్షయా ఉషిక్షయా మీన్స్ దోస్ హు లివ్ ఇన్ ది ప్లెసెంట్ లేక్స్ ఉషిక్షయా హంస న నిరమంతి దే డు నాట్ టేక్ ఎనీ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ అట్ ఆల్ ఇన్ సచ్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ సో ఐ విల్ గో త్రూ ది ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ వన్స్ మోర్ వీ విల్ మెమరైజ్ దిస్ వర్స్ సో లిసన్ టు ది ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ యత్ చిత్రపదం వచః ఈవన్ దోస్ వర్క్స్ మే హ్యావ్ వెరీ అట్రాక్టివ్ వర్సెస్ బట్ న కర్హిచిత్ ప్రగృహీత బట్ ఇఫ్ దట్ వర్స్ డస్ నాట్ గ్లోరిఫై ప్రగృణీత మీన్స్ గ్లోరిఫై హరేర్ యశః ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద గ్లోరీ జగత్ పవిత్రం దట్ విచ్ క్యాన్ గ్లోరిఫై ప్యూరిఫై దిస్ హోల్ యూనివర్స్ తద్ దో స్క్రిప్చర్స్ ఉషంతి ఆర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ బై హూమ్ మానస దోస్ డివోటీస్ హు హ్యావ్ క్యాప్చర్డ్ ది మైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ దోస్ డివోటీస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ దీస్ వర్క్స్ యాజ్ వాయసం తీర్థం as the place of pilgrimage for the crows yatra in such works ushikshayaha hamsa those swan like devotees who live in pleasant lakes na niramanti they do not take any enjoyment at all however poetic it was written but they don't take any enjoyment there okay So I'll give you 30 seconds to go over the translation. Then we will try to recollect. Okay. So now I will read the Sanskrit, you give the translation. Okay. Yad chitrapadam vachah.
Decorative verses.
Those verses with very attractive, works with very attractive verses. Na karhichit pragrinita.
Do not sing at all.
At all is indicated where? Karhichit. Karhichit means never. Na karhichit means never. Na karhichit pragrinita harer yashah. Glory to the Supreme Lord. What is the nature of harer yashah?
Jagat
pavitram. Ushanti. ఉషంతి ఆర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ తద్ ఉషంతి సచ్ వర్క్స్ ఆర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ బై హూమ్ మానస మానస మీన్స్
డివోటీస్ హావ్ క్యాప్చర్డ్ ది లార్డ్
లార్డ్ విత్ ఇన్ దేర్ హార్ట్స్ ఆర్ మైండ్ ఉషంతి మానస తద్ ఉషంతి మానస వాట్ డూ దే కన్సిడర్ ఇట్ యాస్ వాట్ డూ దే కన్సిడర్ ఇట్ యాస్ వాయసం తీర్థం వాయసం తీర్థం మీన్స్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ ప్లేస్ ఫర్ ద క్రోస్ యత్ర యత్ర వేర్ ఇన్ దట్ ప్లేస్ ఉషిక్షయాః
Shiksha means the swans.
Where the swans pleasant
lakes. Present lakes. Living in that pleasant lakes, Hamsaha, the swan-like devotees, Na Niramanti, they never take any pleasure there. Okay. So let's chant this verse 3 times and try to recollect. Nayadvachaschitra ramyadheryasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtamushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantyu shikshayah vachaschitra padam harerasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtamushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantyu shikshayah nayadvachaschitra padam harerasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtamushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantyu shikshayah. Okay, first line, who can recollect? Sachin Roo. Second line.
Jagat pavitram pragrinita
karhichit. Third line. Rakesh Roo. Tad. Tad. Fourth. First 2 lines, who wants to recollect? Next 2 lines. Okay, full verse, who wants to recollect? Anyone?
Nayat vachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragranita karhichit tadvayasam tirtham shanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramanti shikshaya.
Good. Hari bol. Okay. So let's move on. Okay. So here let's quickly go through what the acharyas have to say. Even poetic works should be condemned if they are devoid of glorification of Vasudev, however poetic it may be. A work whose verses do not proclaim... See, however, if it is a work glorifying the Lord, then if you have a poetic inclination, you can make it more poetic. It adds to the beauty. Just like, you know... if you are chanting the holy names, singing, you try to sing as nicely as possible. But if a cinema song has a better melody, that does not mean you start singing the cinema song. So singing the holy name is very important, but if you can sing it better, it's all the more good. So after choosing the right thing to sing, you can always embellish it with, nice poetry or nice instruments, nice melodies. That is always good. A work whose verses do not proclaim the glories of the Lord, which purify even the whole world, composed of speakers and listeners, what to speak of the author, is actually like a dead body. It is very impure without describing the glories of the Lord, which are like life itself. Even though it may be endowed with qualities and poetic ornaments, Chitrapadam is also a cause of surprise or dismay. Another meaning of Chitra. So Chitra means wonderful. Chitra also means astonishing. Which means astonishingly bad. Because it's not glorifying the Supreme Lord. Like that. It is considered to be a place for crows. A hole filled with various leftover foods. Which is desired by persons filled with lust who are like crows. It is a place where the swans of the Manasa Sarovar or the devotee situated in the mind of the Lord. So, are absolutely never enjoy. Ni ramanti. Na ramanti means they do not enjoy. Na niramanti means even for a second they do not enjoy. So, that the devotees have captured the mind of the Lord. What is the proof he gives? Sadavo hridayam mahyam. What does it literally mean? The sadhus have captured the heart of the Lord. Okay? So heart and mind, same. This is one understanding of manasa. Or manasa also means mana sa. Sa means to destroy. Manasa means, mana means respect. Sa means destroy. Those who respect, those who destroy the respect of such literatures by having no taste for it. If someone says that, you know, I am getting, you know, you have accepted all the items. Now let me get the best of the items. Carrot halwa. This is... Just keep it aside, I don't need, you know, serve me the other items. So which means it's not so important. So such great devotees, by not giving any importance to such topics, they have destroyed the respect of such topics. Mana sa, killing the respect by niramanti, na niramanti, by not having any pleasure, by not taking any pleasure for such non-devotional poetry, they have destroyed all respect for that, for such works. That is another meaning of manasa. Or manasa can mean the kumaras, who are the manasa putras of Brahmaji. So manasa ushanti means the kumaras proclaim that tad vayasam tirtham, that is a place of pilgrimage for clothes, like that. Like that. And then he says that, so you mean to say that those verses which glorify the Supreme Lord are Jagat Pavitram. And those verses which do not glorify the Supreme Lord are Vayasam Tirtham. Payasam nahi, Vayasam. So Vayasam Tirtham. So now he is telling, in Bhagavatam also, there are so many verses which are glorifying, like 9th canto is filled with chapters, which is just names of the dynasties and kings. So 9th canto Vayasam Tirtham hai kya? So he says, and it may be argued, so in that case, if only those verses which directly glorify the Lord are Jagat Pavitram, and that which is not glorifying is Vayasam Tirtham, then not all verses of Bhagavatam are glorifying the Lord directly. So therefore, some part of Bhagavatam where it is directly glorifying, it is Jagat Pavitram. Where it is not directly glorifying, it is Vayasam Tirtham. Vaisa hai kya? And other scriptures written by Vyasadeva, it's not that it is completely devoid of glorifying the Supreme Lord. They also have some glorifications. So, how do you understand? So, to this, Vishnu Jagadagur quotes this verse from the 12th canto. Bhagavatam talks about the nature of Bhagavatam. He says, Kalimala samhati kalano akilesho harir itaratra na giyate hyabhikshnam. Ihadu punar Bhagavan Ashesha Murti Paripatito Anupadam Kata Prasangaihi. He says, Harihi, the Supreme Lord Narayan, Akilesha, the soul of this universal form, Kalimala Samhati Kalana, who destroys the vices of Kali, Itaratra means in the other scriptures other than Bhagavatam, Na Giyatehi Abhikshnam. Abhikshnam means constant. Constant glorification of Bhagavatam, constant glorification of Bhagavan does not happen in any other scripture other than Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam itself says. But Bhagavan punaha is again and again paripatito is described anupadam in every single syllable of Bhagavatam. Bhagavan is only glorified. Katha prasangaihi, on the pretext of mentioning many many different stories, ultimately Bhagavan is only glorified. So it is like telling in which direction is kitchen from Govind Villa. West. Does it mean from where I am sitting, if I start walking towards the west, I will reach the kitchen? What will happen? I will bang on the wall. So I have to take the east, west means this will be north. I have to move in the northern direction and then turn towards the east and start walking. So the same way, if I have to go towards Goshala, Goshala is in the northeast. That does not mean right from inside this room only I start walking in the northeastern direction. What will happen? I will not reach Goshala. I will end up somewhere in between. Okay, so I may have to go in the east and then west and then south and then north, here and there, and eventually I will reach Goshala, because I am not aerially traveling. I am traveling by road. So the same way, but the purpose of all these roads is to take me to Goshala only, right? Even though it may not be in the true northeast direction. So the same way, Bhagavatam's every single syllable is glorifying the Supreme Lord means, need not be directly, but the purpose of all that glorification is to, all that description is to eventually glorify the Supreme Lord. Mukti might be glorified in some verses, but ultimately to glorify Krishna. But other scriptures glorify Krishna so that Mukti might be eventually glorified. So therefore, Bhagavatam's glorification of Mukti itself is, Mukti also is meant to glorify Krishna. Whereas the other scriptures, glorification of Krishna itself need not be meant to ultimately glorify Krishna, but to glorify Mukti as the highest goal. So therefore, Bhagavatam is conclusively glorification of Krishna. Need not be in every single word. But every single word is also glorifying Krishna, because it is taking us in the true northeast direction. Even though the direction of the road itself may be west, but it is taking me towards true northeast, towards Goshala. Is it clear? So that sense, every single syllable of Bhagavatam is glorifying. But Bhagavatam itself says that the other scriptures, this also Vyasadeva only has written. So Vyasadeva himself says, the other scriptures do not have this quality of continuously, again and again, glorifying the Supreme Lord. So the purpose, Bhagavatam in every syllable has this purpose of glorifying Supreme Lord. Whereas the other scriptures, even though there may be glorification, but the purpose may not be to glorify the Supreme Lord. Is it clear? It's not clear for whom. Yeah, please. Upa Puranas. Yeah.
So, and out of that, so many, let's say 36, including the Upa Puranas or 18 Upa Puranas, one Bhagavad Purana is saying the glorification of the Lord, of the Lord. Now, there are other 35, you know, which are talking about so many other things. Then how can one, and plus there are the other Shruti and other Smriti and so many other things are there.
Correct.
So, in as compared to that one literature of 18,000 verses, there are lakhs and lakhs of verses.
Correct.
Then how can one can refute that particular argument? You know?
Oh, okay. So ultimately,
what is the argument?
There are, of all the unlimited number of literatures, there is one Bhagavatam which is purely glorifying Krishna, and now you are telling that that's why it is best. But there are so many thousands of other Vedic literatures which are not pure glorification. So they have other purposes. How can you say that only this Bhagavatam is best? Like that, right?
Yeah, one can argue
that. One may present this argument.
Okay. I read everything and I've seen one small book.
One small book Bhagavatam is there. Only that is glorifying. What is the big deal? Right. So, this is a elaborate discussion, but I will very briefly mention and touch upon it later if we get an opportunity. First thing, Krishna says, Yo-yo yam-yam tanum bhaktam shraddhayarchitum icchati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidadamyaham. Krishna says that I only give the faith to other worshippers of demigods. It's not just worshippers of demigods. They could be worshippers of Krishna also, but in a mixed way. Like they may be performers of Sakama Karma Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. How does Krishna give them faith? One thing is, when they pray for it, Sataya Shraddaya Yuktastasya Radhanam Ihate Labate Chatatak Kaman Mayaiva Vihitan Hitan. Krishna says, when they pray with, endowed with the Shraddha, when they pray on behalf of the demigods, I fulfill their desires. Why? So that they don't lose faith in that demigod. That is one way. And another way is through scriptures. So the scriptures have been written in such a way that these people, when they read the scriptures, they don't find Bhagavatam as the topmost pramana. They find that scripture which glorifies the demigod as the topmost pramana. Because Krishna has written it that way, so that they don't lose faith in that demigod. So therefore, if they have Shraddha elsewhere, you can't just by showing the verse, you cannot change them. You have to give them the Shraddha. And how do they get that Shraddha?
Sukriti.
By Sukriti. So when you behave nicely with them, when they can see a friend in you, when they can see a reliable person in you, when they can see the good qualities in you, when they see some utility, like you give them some nice food to eat and all that. So slowly, slowly by accumulation of that, when they get that Shraddha, only then they will believe in the Bhakti scriptures. Merely by showing, it will not happen. Because Krishna has created the system. Krishna does not want their Shraddha to shake. So you cannot shake them by showing the verses. But you can shake them by creating the Shraddha. So there is a means of... So we can't talk about how to defeat the argument. No arguments can be defeated if the other person does not have the Shraddha. Like they say, a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So you might have quoted 10 verses to blow that fellow away. He will just get blown away from you, that's all. So he will not come back to you. We don't want people to get blown away. We want people to accept our scriptures. So that the only way of doing it is to help him develop that Shraddha. Then he will accept. So we are not here to defeat anyone's arguments, because arguments can never be defeated that way. Like that. Taking this verse and the next verse in the Bhagavatam into consideration, the word vachaha should mean the general import of the discussion rather than each sentence. So each sentence of Bhagavatam may not be a direct glorification of the Supreme Lord, but it is meant to directly glorify Supreme Lord. in that sense. Like I give this other example also. Like I want to, let's say someone is from IIT. He has passed out from IIT. He is a friend of mine. And I want to recommend his name for, say, further studies to my professor. Okay. So I'll tell him that, he's from IIT. So, but my professor may not know what IIT is. Then I might start glorifying IIT. You know what IIT is, you know, how, what kind of people get into IIT, and after passing out from IIT, you know, so many of them get into the top institutes in the United States. They go to MIT, Stanford, and so many wonderful universities they go. And on I may glorify IIT. But what is the purpose of my glorifying IIT? To recommend my friend. I have no affinity to IIT, but I have affinity to my friend. So my glorification of IIT, what is the purpose? To recommend my friend. Do you think if I don't have to recommend my friend to my professor, do you think I'll be glorifying IIT to my professor? No way. I don't have any specific affinity to IIT. But if I do not glorify IIT, do you think my professor would understand the glory of this person? No. So at this point of time, it behooves that I glorify IIT only in order to create that impact about my friend. So therefore, that glorification of IIT is not actually glorification of IIT. It is glorifying my friend only. So when Bhagavatam glorifies these other things, Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utaya Manvantari Shanukata Nirodho Muktir, is ultimately meant to glorify Ashraya. So in that sense only, Bhagavatam glorifies the other things. So therefore, every syllable means, every syllable has the intent of glorifying the Supreme Lord. The content itself may not be direct glorification of Supreme Lord. But every syllable is soaked with the intent of glorifying the Supreme Lord. That is the speciality of Bhagavatam. So therefore, even the Vamshavalis, the genealogical line and everything, even the, where is glorification of Supreme Lord there? But it is there in the intent. The content may not, content may be glorifying some Vena or whomever it may be. Not glorifying Vena, but about Vena. But that is there with the ultimate intent of glorifying Prithu Maharaj, who is an incarnation of Supreme Lord. Like that. I'll read two sentences, then I'll take. Okay. That being the case, the chapters and stories of Bhagavatam are all ornaments to the glories of the Lord. They are ornamenting the glory of the Lord. In other Puranas, however, many of the stories are devoid of the glories of the Lord and are therefore the place of the crows. Thus, there is no contradiction here. Bhagavatam in toto is Jagat Pavitram. And not that all other scriptures, all other scriptures, wherever they are glorifying the Supreme Lord, is Jagat Pavitram. Where the stories are not meant to directly glorify the Supreme Lord, in a relative sense, not that they have no utility at all. Not that they have no utility at all, but they may very slowly take that person towards glorifying the Supreme Lord, like that. Okay. Quickly, yeah.
You said that not every shloka will glorify Krishna.
In Bhagavatam. May directly, necessarily glorify Krishna. Yeah.
Intent is to glorify Krishna.
Yeah.
So when we are reading, so like we sometimes we do that, we may not put so much
emphasis
on, like we quickly go through. It's not the insult or offense.
As long as we are careful about that, we understand that this verse also is meant to eventually glorify Krishna. I may not understand how. And then move to the next verse. Correct. That's why I clarified that Vyasam Tirtham is like a like, for example, we may say for pure devotional service, if pure devotional service is the goal, then reading Upanishads is also a distraction. Okay. Now, it depends. The goal gets refined and refined. Raghunath Das Goswami was, he used to, once in 3 days, he used to honor some buttermilk. So, one particular day, he got more buttermilk because the drone was bigger. He said, hey, where did this drone come from? I generally get, oh, this is from that particular village. He says, I will not even look at that drone. Why? That was Chandravali's village. So for someone whose nishta is fixed at the lotus feet of only Radharani, at that stage, even thinking of Chandravali's village is a distraction. But for us, it is most worshipable. Right? So, it depends on what is your goal. When the goal becomes more and more refined, you know, the, you know, what constitutes distraction also changes. So, what you consider something as very favorable initially might become a distraction. So therefore, Vyasam Tirtham, the other literatures, in one in some context, if you have understood that the ultimate goal of life is pure devotional service, then Vyasam Tirtham, we may not call it Vyasam Tirtham, but it is a distraction. You don't need it in that sense. Like that. Yeah.
Like if, I mean, now Prabhupada has basically given us Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam only as the, for ISKCON in general.
Yeah.
But then we also see in the market, in our ISKCON market, there are newer and newer books coming, stories from Puranas,
yeah,
from this Puran, that Puran. So what is the exact significance of them? And like,
okay, if you ask me, in my personal opinion, if they have been commented by our even Vartaman Acharyas, you can read. Otherwise, we will just misread. So, I would say there are so many stories, but what is the real moral of the story? Ultimately, if you don't understand the real moral of the story, then it will just be some pious entertainment for us. I would say, in my opinion. Again, very subjective opinion. I have nothing against. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes here, the fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out. So, I'll quickly keep reading. Wherever I pause, tell me which part of the verse Prabhupada is talking about. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out. Just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and women and places for gross sense pleasure, the swans do not take pleasure. Naniramanti hamsa, in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty. Ushikshayaha. Where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. Later Prabhupada says, nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language.
Chitrapadam.
Full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet, with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Na pragrinita harayasho. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. These literatures in the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being, and thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are called manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. That's how Prabhupada defines manasa. They always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. Like yesterday, His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu was mentioning in the evening class that if the hand thinks that, I am feeding the mouth, so therefore, I have to get something in return. So that is not really service. That's just some business. Dukandari. Okay, later Prabhupada says, social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhara, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahamsas who have grasped the essence of human activities. Like that. Okay. So let's complete at least one more verse. We are getting close to 12:30. So I'll take 10 minutes extra. Is it okay? Because we are quite close to Radha Damodar, I don't have to. In few minutes I can reach there.
Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavatyapi namanyanantasya yashonkitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadavaha.
Tadvag visargo. Vag visargo means usage of words. Yasmin, where pratishlokam, every single verse, abaddavatyapi. Abaddavat means not in terms of meaning, but in terms of composition. No similes, no metaphors, no proper meter also. So it may not be very elegantly composed. But anantasya namani. But if that has the names of the Supreme Lord, who is unlimited, yet yesho ankitani, and if it is filled with his glories and names, then sadavaha. Sadavaha means very devotees. Shrinvanti, they hear. Gayanti, they sing. Grinanti, they again receive. That name, that literature which is filled with the names and glories of the Supreme Lord. Why? Janata aga viplavo. Viplavo means to destroy. Agha means sense. Janata aga means sense of all people. Because such names and glories of the Lord are capable of destroying the sins of all people. Therefore, such literatures are accepted Prabhupada writes a beautiful translation here. I'll read. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Sadhavo. Like that. So, so I want you to go through the word meanings and translation. I'll give you 30 seconds. Then we will quickly memorize this verse.
In
every verse.
Every verse may be incorrect. Like
every verse may not be very composed. Pleasantly composed. Yeah. Okay. Vag visargo.
Those words.
Usage of words. Okay. Yasmin. Jisme. Where? Pratishlokam. Pratishlokam.
Every
shloka. Yasmin pratishlokam abaddavati. Abaddavati, not composed properly. Api, in spite of that. Anantasya Namani. Glories of the unlimited Lord. Yashaha. Glories. The names of the Lord, not glories. Anantasya Namani. Yat Yashaha Ankitani. Filled with the glories, yat yashaha ankitani, shrinvanti, gayanti, grananti, is received, sadhava, purified men are thoroughly honest, devotees, shrinvanti, gayanti, grananti, sadhava, janata agha viplavo. Which destroys the sense of all living beings. Some devotees I cannot see, so I am not pointing my hands. So, okay, I will keep it in my mind. Okay. Okay. So, in a positive way, not. So, okay. So, we'll quickly try to memorize the verse. Many of you might already know this verse. Okay. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavadyapi namanyanantasya yashongitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavadyapi namanyanantasya yashongitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavadyapi namanyanantasya yashongitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Okay. Those of you who did not already know that verse, amongst you, you can try first line. Second line.
Yes,
Third line.
Namani anantasya yasho kitani yat.
Fourth line. Sadhava. First two lines. Anyone else? Next two lines. Okay, full verse. Who wants to try? Quick. Vikas Prabhu. Abhattavadhyapi. Anantasya. Yesho. Hari Bol. Okay. So, let's see. The devotees here, Shrinvanti, Sadhava Shrinvanti, having heard, they sing. Because they can't just hear. If it's nice, they want to sing it themselves. Gayanti. And having sung, again they hear. Since they are not fully satiated. Shrinvanti, gayanti, grinanti, sadhava. So they go into an endless loop. Shrinvanti, gayanti, grinanti, shrinvanti, gayanti, grinanti, shrinvanti, gayanti, grinanti, like that. Or if a speaker is present, they hear the glories. If a hearer is present, they speak the glories. And otherwise, they spontaneously sing the glories. If no one is there, they preach to the walls of the room. Sridhar Swami explains that abaddhavati can also mean ungrammatical language. Like that. Okay. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, I will just, you know, I have sort of summarized purport in my own words. So I'll just read that because it's a very long purport. So Prabhupada says that some ethical instructions even for common men, Prabhupada gives. He quotes from Chanakya Pandit. He says, pick up nectar even from poison. One could pick up gold from a filthy place. One could accept a good wife from an obscure family. Or one could accept a good lesson from a teacher, even though he may be of a low caste. So, this is like ethical instructions for a common man. But a devotee is not a common man. He is above a common man. Why? Because he is always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. So therefore, whatever comes out of his mouth must be accepted. But one may say, how is it great? Why you are telling? Just because he is a devotee, he is great. So he says, by broadcasting such glories, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. Even though it may not be poetically very appealing, but because it is a glory of the Supreme Lord, that will change the polluted consciousness of this whole world. And people will become sane in their transactions. Therefore, God consciousness leads to sane population. So, Prabhupada gives an example. He says, China is now attacking India. But centuries back, they were happy together due to God consciousness. There was God consciousness prevalent both in China and in India. So, they were happily together. But now, due to systematic propagation to stop glorification of the Lord, especially China is like a communistic country where any kind of religion is barred. They have of late developed some little bit of tolerance to some not so personal religions, but then still there is a lot of intolerance for practice of religion. So therefore Prabhupada says there is a lot of fighting and quarreling. Therefore there is a need for systematic propagation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If the leaders accept Srimad Bhagavatam, it will change their heart. And if their heart is changed, people will follow. Yadeva Acharati Shrestas. But our attempts to present Srimad Bhagavatam in English, our means Prabhupada says my attempt. In a very humble way he is telling. But our attempts to present Srimad Bhagavatam in English has lot of literary discrepancies. But despite that, if the seriousness of the subject matter is taken into account, then it will be great. Prabhupada gives an example. What is the spirit of broadcasting Bhagavatam? If there is fire in a house, and if you want to solicit help from the neighbors, then the language does not really matter. You are so desperate that you will make that neighbor understand the seriousness of the situation. The same spirit is needed for broadcasting Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, like even though, you know, actually to communicate the message of Bhagavatam, you don't need a projector, you know, and a quiet place and all that which I asked for. That's because probably I don't have sufficient faith in the subject matter that I am presenting. But nevertheless, you know, if it can help, you can use. But ultimately, we should understand that, you know, Bhagavatam is neither projector nor the where it is projected, nor it does not depend on that. If you know and if you are relishing the nectar, then whatever language they may be speaking, you know, you would naturally communicate it to them like that. In Kali, everyone is polluted with corruption, violence and all such vices. And there are so many obscene literatures, though the government and leaders don't want it, but it's there. But when Srimad Bhagavatam enters, it diminishes the activities of the corrupt mind. And it supplies food for their hankering after reality. So it destroys the taste for the other literature and it creates jigyasa or hankering for the reality. But one may not like it in the beginning, just like a jaundiced person may not like. But if he still reads it or tastes it, then one can develop taste. What is that?
Sat Krishna.
Kintu adarat anudinam kalusaiva jushta swadvi kramat bhavati. The same thing becomes tasteful after some time. Like that. Okay. So that's what this verse is. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddavatyapi namanyanantasya ishonkitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadava. Okay. 10 minutes. I'll take till 12:40. Let's go for one more verse and see how far we can complete. नैष्कर्म्यमप्यच्युतभाववर्जितं न शोभते ज्ञानमलं निरञ्जनं कुतः पुनश्शश्वतभद्रमीश्वरे न चार्पितं कर्म यदप्यकारणम्. वी विल नॉट मेमराइज दिस वर्स बट वी विल ट्राई टू अंडरस्टैंड दिस वर्स नाइसली. सो ही सेज व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ ऑर्डिनरी लिटरेचर्स विच आर फिल्ड विथ लिटररी ऑर्नमेंट्स इवन वेदिक लिटरेचर्स. If understood out of context in a non-devotional way, even that Vedic literature is of no use. That's what this is. Naishkarmyam jnanam api. Even though that jnana, which is capable of destroying karma, naishkarmyam jnanam api, na shobate. It is not glorious. It is not glorious means it will not fulfill its purpose. When Achyuta Bhava Varjitam, if presented in a non-devotional way, if it is presented without emphasizing the devotion towards Supreme Lord. Achyuta bhava varjitam na shobate. It is not glorious. It is not glorious means it will not fulfill its purpose. That is the meaning of the first line. Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobate jnanam. Naishkarmyam jnanam api na shobate achyuta bhava varjitam. That is clear. Then he says, alam niranjanam. What is the use of having destroyed one's ignorance? Because eventually it will not lead to liberation. You may still understand, I am not this body, I am the soul and all that. But eventually it will not lead to any tangible liberation. You might have destroyed the ignorance to some extent. And later it is mentioned that if it is achyuta bhava varjitam, that ignorance returns back. One again gets that same ignorance. One falls trapped to that same ignorance. So naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Niranjanam means anjanam is ignorance. Niranjanam means destroying ignorance. Alam means what is the use here? What is the use of having destroyed ignorance? Okay, so first two lines are clear. Naishkarmyam jnanam api na shobate achyuta bhava varjitam. Alam niranjanam. What is the use of destroying ignorance? Because that ignorance will return back if there is no bhakti towards the Supreme Lord. Kutap punaha. What then to speak of sakama karma? Shashvada badram. What is the nature of sakama karma? Shashvada badram. During practice, during perfection, everything is difficult. Nonsense, as Prabhupada says. It will give at the most what? Swarga. Shine punya marte lokam vishanti. Temporary benefits. So he says, if this is the situation of jnana, which can potentially give liberation and destroy ignorance, what then to speak of sakama karma, which is shashvada badram? Kutappuna shashvada badram. And then he says, yadapi akaranam karma. And what then to speak of, what to speak of nishkama karma? Ishvare nacha arpitam. Even though there may be detachment from the fruits, detachment from enjoying the fruits, but if the fruits are not offered to Krishna, what is the use of even that nishkama karma? What is the use of having detachment from enjoying that fruit if that fruit is not eventually offered to Krishna? So here it is mentioned, Narada Muni is telling, you have spoken about sakama karma, you have spoken about nishkama karma, you have spoken about the path of jnana, all of which can potentially give, you can take the PowerPoint. So all of that can potentially give the goals, but if it is achyuta bhava varjitam, it cannot give that goal also. Nishkama karma also, when the fruit is not offered to Krishna, mere practice of nishkama karma yoga will not give its result of purifying the heart. So same way, sakama karma also, if that does not involve worship of the Supreme Lord, then that will also not give the result. So naishkarmyam jnanam api na shobate. Let's try to recollect. Naishkarmyam jnanam api na shobate achyuta bhava varjitam. Alam niranjanam. What is the use of destroying the ignorance? It will come back anyway. Kutappuna. What then to speak of shashvada badram? That sakama karma which is constantly useless, because while performing it is so difficult and the result temporary. Then he says, yadapi akaranam karma. What to speak of that nishkama karma? Akaranam means that which is, akaranam karma means that activity which is performed without a desire to enjoy the result, fruits. Yadapi akaranam karma. What then to speak of that nishkama karma? Ishware nacha arpitam. If the fruits are not offered to Krishna, that is of no use. So therefore, he says that I am not just talking about mundane poetry, my dear Vyasadev. I am speaking about Vedic literatures also. If because of your lack of emphasis on the bhakti portion, if people neglect that bhakti only, thinking that it is not so important, then their practice of nishkama karma or sakama karma or jnana yoga will not give the benefit. That is the point that Narada Muni is mentioning here. We will not memorize this verse because that way every verse is worth memorizing in this chapter. But few verses we will memorize. We are running short of time also. So I'll just quickly go through the purport. So here, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, not only are the words important, if there is no bhakti, the whole work itself is useless. The realization coming from the words of the Vedas is useless without bhakti. What to speak of mere scriptural knowledge and what to speak of nishkama karma? And so much more, sakama karma is useless without bhakti because it cannot give the result of swarga. Even knowledge devoid of fruitive intentions does not appear wonderful without bhakti, in which one thinks of the Lord who has a form of knowledge and bliss. In bhakti, you accept the Supreme Lord as having a Sachidananda Vigraha who is capable of helping you in your spiritual progress. If that Achyuta Bhava is not there, even jnana will not give its result of liberation. Even if bhakti is present in jnana, one may say, oh, there is worship of Lord. And if one thinks that the Lord and bhakti are mixed with maya, which means improper sambandha jnana, that is not really bhakti, then that does not produce liberation. Even though devoid of ignorance, even though devoid of the ignorance of one not being the body, but one is the soul. One may be devoid of that ignorance, though one has realized that knowledge, what is the use of that? Why? Because it is mentioned that, he quotes a verse from the scripture called Vasana Bhashya, apparently a Vaishnava literature. He says, Jivan Muktapi Punar Bandhanam Yanti Karma Bihi Yadi Achintya Mahashakta Bhagavati Aparadinaha. Even the liberated persons again get bound by karma if they commit offense against the Lord, who is the possessor of great inconceivable powers. So which means, Alam Niranjanam. Even if you have destroyed ignorance, but at some point if you develop an unfavorable attitude towards the Supreme Lord, then that ignorance comes back. Same is with devotees also. If one becomes an aparadi, then one may go back to a stage prior to Shraddha also. So Madhurya Kadambini explains. I think we discussed it in Bhakti Samsandhu. And then another verse he quotes, Jivan Mukta Prabhadyante Kuchit Samsara Vasanam Yogino Na Vilipyante Karmabir Bhagavatpara. Liberated souls sometimes are subjected to birth and death, but the yogis who surrender to the Lord are not at all touched by karma. So therefore, Achyuta Bhava Varjitam Na Shobate. Thus, the effect of jnana, that is destruction of karma, is not so wonderful if it is Achyuta Bhava Varjitam, because that state of non-ignorance may come back. May get reverted and one may again come back to the stage of ignorance. It is not irreversible. It is irreversible only if Achyuta Bhava is there. If Achyuta Bhava Varjitam, then it immediately gets reversed. So he says, Nanu Vrajanti Yo Mohad Vrajantam Jagadishwaram Jnanagni Dagda Karmapi Sa Bhaved Brahma Rakshasaha. As Krishna says, Jnanagni Dagda Karmanam Jnanagni Sarva Karmani Basmasat Kurute Arjuna, Krishna says. The fire of knowledge can burn all karmas to ashes. But he says, Jnanagni Dagda Karmapi Sa Bhaved Brahma Rakshasa. Even though the performance of jnana might have burnt all karma, but still he will become a Brahma Rakshasa. When? How? Why? Because if he does not follow the Lord in his chariot, when he moves, not the mere act of not following the chariot, but not following the chariot because of not having the right kind of respect towards the Supreme Lord. So therefore, he says, Achyuta Bhava is most important to get the result of from any activity like that. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. I'm paraphrasing. Okay. So, not only are mundane literatures condemned, but also the Vedic literatures which are devoid of devotional service, they are also condemned. This includes even jnana that leads to Brahman. What then to speak of kamya karma, which is painful both in the beginning and end? But when this karma is made subservient to devotional service, then it becomes fruitful, Prabhupada says. Otherwise, it is only troublesome. I will read. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus, when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. Like that. So, nacha arpitam karma yadapi akaranam. So, therefore, Prabhupada is pointing at, you may not want to enjoy it yourself, but still, if you don't use it in the service of the Lord, it will cause further trouble. Like that. Okay. So, 12 verses is not ideally, I should be completing one chapter, but 5th chapter is not meant to be completed in one class because it's a very, very important chapter. But next class we have to complete it. So, in case if I am not able to complete, I may have to extend little bit. Okay. Because I am not going to give you any exam today. Because in 12 verses, I don't want to want you to write an exam. But tomorrow I may extend. In the sense, I may have to take 1 hour, probably 1.5 hours maximum extra post lunch. Okay, 3 to 4:30 or something like that. Tomorrow is 31st. What time you are leaving, bro?
2:30.